My brothers and sisters, the readings today, there are both in the first reading and in the second reading, references to the Spirit. As I said at the beginning of the Mass, I'm glad for this because we need to be preparing ourselves for the celebration of Pentecost, preparing our hearts to renew within us this great gift. The great gift of the Holy Spirit is the fulfillment of God's plan for his people, that all might be anointed, all might be prophetic in hearing God's voice within them, that they might be led not from a tablet that is written on outside of them, but in writing on their hearts. The first reading today, we hear all of this that's going on in the life of Saul, who will be Paul. Community of believers was afraid of him. Last time he was there, he was persecuting them. It's only after a period of time in which he demonstrates that he truly has become a believer in Jesus Christ, he begins to suffer persecution because of it. You see in his life the fruits of his entering into communion with Jesus. But this last little sentence, it was being built up, the church, and walked in the fear of the Lord, and with the consolation of the Holy Spirit, it grew in numbers. With the consolation of the Holy Spirit, it grew in numbers. The presence of the Holy Spirit in the church, that she might grow, be at peace, be consoled. The second reading references the Holy Spirit in speaking about the letter of St. John, of doing what God has commanded us to do, to responding to those commandments and such. But first of all, let us love not just in word and speech. Oh, I love you. I love you. You want to say, prove it, right? Let me see in your life what you say. Basically what St. John is saying to the church, the gathering community, you can talk about loving Jesus all you want, but let me see it tangible in your life. Let me see it concretely. Were you invited to sacrifice? Were you invited to lay down your life in little ways? Let me see that demonstrated in your actions. Talk is cheap, right? We don't want the words that come out of your mouth to be lies. We want them to be authentic and true. And the way that we know that Jesus remains in us is from the Spirit he gave us. This affirmation of mutual abiding says, remain in me, abide in me. There's another part in the Gospel of John, was my favorite scripture passage, where he just says, remain in my love. But that word remain can also be translated abiding. I like it, because it's more of like, more homey, get it? More home, abiding, home. Guess it's early, you guys stayed out too late last night. This whole idea of abiding, the invitation of giving permission for our Lord to abide with us and us to abide with him. So we come to the gospel text. We see this analogy of the vine and the branch. And I love it because it's concrete, right? It's concrete, it's tangible. You can see this. We had grapevines, a few grapevines in the backyard of my parents' home growing up as a kid. I know how this is. I know how important it is for bringing discipline, you might say, into the life of fruit-bearing plants, in order to direct their energy and their efforts into the producing of fruit and not just leaves and branches. My dad was notorious for not seeing the value of pruning. And so we had three apple bushes that were in our yard, not apple trees, but bushes, just a lot of leaves. And I remember coming home, must have been the winter time on break or something, dad was still working, he came home, I'm up in the tree and I'm like sawing away. I got two of them done, the third one is on the way. I'm cut all these branches out of these trees, throw them a big pile there in the ground. My dad comes home from work and he comes over. He said, "Oh, what are you doing?" I said, "Oh, just pruning." And he's like, "Huh? Okay." So I grabbed a branch, started saying, he's like, "Oh, no, not that one." Okay. So I grab another one. I'm like, "Oh, no, not that one." I'm like, "Okay, Dad." So I can come down, we can go in, have a beer, have dinner. You can go to bed, wake up next morning, go to work, and I can come back out here and finish by myself. Or you can help me. And he's like, "Okay." And so all that went off. This idea of the necessity to bring discipline into the lives of fruit-bearing trees so that they would bear more fruit. We don't grow apple trees, pear trees, and peach trees to have leaves. I've never had a delicious wine made from grape leaves. Never. I have eaten grape leaves, but never made a delicious wine with grape leaves. My brothers and sisters, Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. When we are attached to the vine, the life of Jesus comes into our life, and through it we bear much fruit. If we are disconnected, branches from the vine, we shrivel and die. Apart from Jesus, you can do what? Some things, a few things, a lot of things. Nothing. No thing. You can do nothing apart from Him. If you are cut off, you shrivel and die. Very simple, right? With Him, we bear fruit. Cut off from Him, nothing. Piece of cake, right? Homily's done. No. Problem is we're not a unfree grapevine branch. We have will. We have a response, our heart. It's very beautiful and natural. If that branch is grafted to the vine, it will produce fruit. Period. But our freedom is invited into this. And also the freedom of God is invited into this as well. So when we are grafted too, because he says, "My Father is the vine dresser," right? And there are branches that are connected to me now, but they're not bearing fruit. So what does he do to them? Sit there and go, "Come on, you can do it, you can do it." At a certain point, he cuts them off. Whew. Pretty drastic, isn't it? "Well, I was grafted to him." Yes, but you were not bearing fruit. Snip. And to those that are bearing fruit, he goes snip, 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 so they bear more fruit. That is not an act of hatred. It is an act of the importance of what it is that this is all about. And so we can be grafted to Jesus but not bear fruit as well. Because our will is involved in this. So to ask ourselves the question, what is the life that comes into us from Jesus that bears fruit in our life? Is it not the Holy Spirit? In a moment we will recite the creed together and we will call the Holy Spirit the Lord and giver of life. All life comes through the Holy Spirit. If there is to be life within us from this grafting, it is the life of God. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. What is this Holy Spirit? Right? What is this Holy Spirit? I've heard people, right, and they want to do this because they want to be hip and cool. We want to come up with all sorts of new words and describe to other people, you know, the Holy Spirit. And we're like, "Well, it's kind of like the Force, man. You know, it's like the Force in Star Wars. You know, it's this thing." And it's like, wrong. Kind of like it, sure, but no. Well, it's kind of like electricity, you know? It's like there, but, you know, and it's like, no. This is the third person of the Holy Trinity. This is God Himself dwelling within us. This is not some product of static electricity. This is not something like gravity. When you put a big rock on you and you feel the force, right? You feel it more and more and more the longer it sits on you. Right? This is not some innate, like, unknowing. This is the Holy Spirit of God. And it is a divine person. He's a divine person that dwells within you. And so, persons have dialogue. They have conversation. When we say that the life of God is planted within us, this is that God has entered into our life in a very real way, that we are to enter into conversation with God. I know people that say, well, I want to know what God wants to say to me and my wife. You know, I want to hear it. I said, do you? Do you really? Yeah, of course I want to do it. Go on retreat, silence. They're like, telephone, I'm going to text people, I got to this and that, you know, and I can't stand the silence. You know, it's like, do you really want God to talk to you? Sure, of course. And you start speaking like, shh, you know, shh, quiet, you know. Or we're out and about and we get this prompting in our hearts to do something. And what do we respond? No, I can't do that. God, please don't ask me to do that. No, I can't do that. That might be embarrassing. Maybe that person will be like, I don't know, what's on with you? You know, this and that. So we say, shh, to God. This prompting of God within our hearts, we shush it. The presence of the Holy Spirit within our lives, my brothers and sisters, is that we can be in conversation with God through everything in our lives. To be intentional about it, to be choosing it, means that we will set aside other things from our life so that we have time to be in that conversation with Him. There's something very interesting. This gift, the life of God within us, that is not just a force, it's just not a power, some inert thing that we like could just plug ourselves into, and then all of a sudden, you know, we got juice, right? Boom. Person. This is a relationship. You know, I plug a vacuum cleaner in and turn the switch on. It doesn't have the freedom to go, no, I'm not going to suck up dirt today. Mm-mm. No. It's like, nope, sorry. Boom, flip the switch. And then sucking up the dirt, right? It has no choice. Did you get redeemed? Sanctified in Jesus Christ to have no choice in your life, that somehow in entering into this relationship with God, you would have no freedom. No freedom for you, only redemption. Right? That doesn't make sense at all. To take away from you something that's beautiful and good that He has given to you and redeemed. Invitation for us to operate in the truth, to operate in the freedom of being made a new creation in God. So we enter into conversation, we enter into dialogue, we enter into relationship with God within ourselves, deep within us. And this is important because I'm getting to the last point here in the gospel text. Did you see it? Did you hear it? He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. That's a pretty bold statement, don't you think? How can God say that? If you remain in me and I remain in you, ask for whatever you want. He's not lying. But it is this abiding that is the prerequisite, isn't it? Let's put it in the analogy of two people who fall in love with each other. At a certain point in the relationship of love, in the relationship of knowing the good of the other for them, and the reciprocation of that good, there should come a point when you're able to say to the other, ask me for whatever you want. And with all my being, I will meet you in that as I can. Isn't that the hope? That we would know each other so much, that we'd be one mind and one heart, that you would not be afraid to say to the other, ask me for whatever you want, because I know that you know my heart, and I know that your heart is for me. Go ahead, ask for whatever you want, and it will be yours. Wow, what an incredible ideal, right? What an incredible reality that we would know each other so well that we would have no fear of what the other might ask us because we become one. My brothers and sisters, that's the prerequisite for Jesus being faithful to what he has said to us today. If you abide in me and I abide in you, ask me for whatever you want. He's not afraid. Why? He's not afraid because you become one with him. He's not afraid because your heart and his heart are one. He's not afraid because he knows that you will not ask for what will destroy you. He will ask in accordance with the Father's heart, in accordance with the Father's will, in the building up of the church, in the building up of you, in the building up of others, in salvation, in mercy, in compassion, and all of these things that you will be asking you. And he's like, yes and amen. To all that you say, yes and amen. More, ask me for more. How desiring the heart of Jesus for his bride, for her to entrust her heart and her desires to him. You see how you can do that? You see how it's kind of tricky because, you know, unredeemed me is sitting there like, woo, ask for whatever you want. Cha-ching. You know? Nope. Is it just me? Anybody else cha-chinging? Yeah, you hear that? You're like, yeah, ask for what I want. Jesus said it. Write down that quote. Where's that text? Photocopy. Right? Put it up on the wall, my prayer corner, right? Don't forget to read the first part. This is what Jesus is saying, love me with all of your being and I will love you in return. And I am unafraid of what you might ask me. But that reciprocates the other way too, my brothers and sisters. We enter into this seriously. We are intentional about that. Should we ever be afraid of anything that God asks us to do? Afraid. Afraid that we'll be abandoned in it. Afraid that we'll be left alone. Afraid that we'll be depleted in it. When he comes over there with his snippers, his pruning snippers, and he's like, hey, I love you, and I'm going to cut this out of your life. What should our response be? I know that you love me, Lord. I love you too. Please do it gently. Hey. Click, snip. Right? But that's the disposition that we want. That's what we want in our heart. To be able to have that attitude that even the things that feel like we're losing and dying and getting cut off from our life, that even this is in the plan of love. Why? Unto fruitfulness. Unto fruitfulness. Unto fruitfulness. And a reminder, this is it. This is the end. Fruitfulness, what is it, my brothers and sisters? It is not a list of things to do. The fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's a kid's song, that's all I remember, right? The fruits of the Spirit, where the Spirit is welcomed and wanted and loved and cherished, these fruits will be present. They are the signs of the presence of the Holy Spirit. When the rain is falling and the sun shines across the rain and the clouds don't have to say, rainbow, rainbow, and like grunt and squeeze and be like, rainbow, rainbow. It happens. We know that there's moisture in the sky. We know that the rain is falling when we see the rainbow, right? We know that there's sunshine and we know that there's rain when we see the rainbow. It is a sign of something else being present. Do not look at the fruits of the Spirit as things that you must achieve or accomplish. We are so good at that. Taking something which is supposed to be an outpouring of something else and turn it into the list that proves that I belong. That proves that I'm in. Right? Because I'm doing the things. I'm doing love and joy and peace and patience. Can't you tell? Come on, do some joy with me. Right? As if we can stir this ourselves, or we can like bring this out of ourselves. Where the Holy Spirit is present and welcomed and loved, these fruits spring forth. So too in our relationship with Jesus, when we enter into that bond, the communion of life, and his life, the gift of the Holy Spirit, begins to live and move and breathe in our life and in our being, That is what we concentrate on. That is our response. And what will take place if we do that? What will happen? The fruits will appear. The fruits will appear on their own in our yes, in our invitation of trust and love. So, don't be cut off. Bad. Be connected. Good. Potential for so much. And then respond to the life that God puts within you and watch the fruits come. And do not be afraid when he cuts off the excess, the baggage, the things that are unnecessary for you in your life to bear fruit. It is an act of love for you.